live so bad you wanna die. Ever cried and cried until you can't cry? Like, why am I alive? What's the purpose to life? Ever wanna live so bad you wanna die? Ever cried and cried until you can't cry?
Alina's not here. Hi, welcome to Boys Do Cry, a podcast about mental health, talking everything mental health. My name is Ram Reyes. I'm the host. Paulina is gone. She's out of town, you know, taking care of her mental health on vacation. But I have two of my best lady friends, Jalise and Ashley. You guys want to introduce yourselves?
Hi, I'm Jalise. What else did I say? 22 years old. I'm 23. Yeah. 23 years old.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Ashley. I'm 28.
Yeah, and we are all from the Rampage, from the City College newspaper. That's how we all met. And you
knew you in high school, Ram.
Oh, don't mention that.
Okay.
No. Yeah, Jalise didn't know me from high school.
Yeah, the guy who wore bow ties.
That's oh, okay. God. Yeah. We don't talk about those dark times. I'm trying to bring it back. But yeah, you guys are both not single moms, but you guys are both moms and you guys are like 28.
So we were teen moms.
Yeah.
Teen moms. How old is your son?
My son is 11.
And what you?
James is 4.
4.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, basically I want to talk to you guys because how do you guys go through that? Like mentally, like I want to see, there might be people listening in that are going through the same thing. Maybe they just got pregnant or just being parents, I think will be useful, especially like, cause I have no idea. Like I'm 24. If I had a kid now, it would be dumb as hell.
Yeah. I would definitely say like hug your parents because my parents had 3 of us by the time they were 23. And I'm just at this age with one, and I'm like, oh my God, I don't know how they did this. And then, like, how are they still sane, you know? So, I mean, I got pregnant at 18. It's definitely stressful being a teen mom because it's like, it's a thing, you know, you're 18. I hadn't graduated high school yet, so I didn't tell anybody until I officially graduated because I didn't want to be judged. But even after high school, you're judged, and I didn't stay with James's dad. So, you know, that's a whole thing in itself. Mm-hmm. And, I started going to counseling when I found out I was pregnant. I went to a place here called the Pregnancy Care Center, and they sit with you. The services are free, but they want to sit and talk to you first. And they have you do like a survey. They ask you some questions. And at the end of the survey, the lady was like, you know, you're in an abusive relationship, right? And I was like, what? Like, I didn't even put it together because I was so young and I didn't talk to anybody about my relationship. And then she's like, you should probably come back for counseling. But I knew a lot of people who knew like counselors and stuff like that. So I got into counseling right after I found out I was pregnant, just to keep my mind and myself sane through the whole thing. But that was my experience.
Yeah, so I got pregnant when I was 17. It definitely is stressful. And I think I have a very similar story as Jalise. Like I was in an abusive relationship too. And what that kind of entailed, I didn't get to go to counseling because I didn't get out of it for a long time. So I didn't have any, I think I've always had anxiety, so I've had that for a long time, but I don't think my anxiety was parenting related. So. Mm-hmm.
But that would still be like interesting, like how, like parents right now with anxiety, how would that,
it's hard, especially self-care because, I mean, that kind of self-care is like you're alone, it's like your alone time, right? With kids,
you're never alone.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you guys deal with that? Like, because you have to be with them all the time, right? Like, but how do you make time for yourself?
I was fortunate enough to have my parents, like, walk with me through the whole thing. I was telling Ashley that I had anxiety that was, I guess, I hate saying James-related, but, like, child-related. But mostly because of my relationship with his dad. And co-parenting is really stressful, especially coming from an abusive situation. Obviously, ideally, I would love to cut this man out of my life. But I have to share him with my child, but I want to protect my child from him and all this other stuff. But I had my parents and they made sure to let me know like, hey, you need some time, like we'll watch him. But it's hard because then when you're away from your kids, you think about your kids. So But yeah, that's how I got my me time, I guess. Just had my parents watch him and just leave for an hour, even if I just went to walk in a store, you know. But yeah, that's what helped.
Yeah, it's definitely hard. I think I was kind of, I did it alone for a long time. It's kind of like you feel guilty because, like, kind of, yeah. I guess good parenting, you kind of equal it with, like, as much, how much time you spend with your kids. Mm-hmm. That's not always, like, right. That's not always the right thing to do. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be alone, and Freddie's like, hey, Mom, play Minecraft with me. And I'm like, oh, God, please don't let me play this game. But then I feel guilty, like, I should be spending time with them. But I'm like, yeah. I'd rather just, like, do something alone, you know, like, have some me time. So, it's definitely hard. You feel a lot of guilt, I think.
One thing that my life coach this last year helped me realize that it's not the amount of time I spend with James. It's mostly the quality. Because what I realized is even when I'm stressed because of school or if I'm, like, I don't know, just on my phone, James was starting to be like, Mom, like, put your phone down. Yeah. And I was like, dang, you're bored. Like, you're already telling me to put my phone down. But I was spending hours with him or 24 hours with him. And then I was on my phone, say, 16 of those hours. And really, we didn't spend any time together. So she's like, when you do have that time, like, take him to the zoo, put your phone, like, turn your phone off, blah, blah, blah. So the quality is what really matters. So I stopped feeling that guilt of, like, oh, my gosh, I didn't spend enough time with him because I'm starting to get busier. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, shout out to my life coach.
You want to add anything?
Well, yeah, it's definitely true, the quality. Yeah. Quality of time. And I think having anxiety, it's like you spend a lot of time. If you do have bad anxiety, it's like you spend a lot of time either, like, reliving the past or worrying about the future. Mm. And sometimes I worry, like, am I actually, like, present, you know, mm-hmm. for the time that that's I am spending is, with yeah. him? And yeah. So that's a struggle, too.
Yeah, I've struggled with being present now as a without a child. Because, actually, I told my therapist this morning. Thanks. I don't know if this is true. Maybe you guys can confirm. I might have made, like, an offhand comment to my therapist.
Oh, God.
But I want, because you guys are parents, I want you guys to get mm-hmm. your perspective on this. It's, well, you guys didn't have a choice in having the child. But I was thinking, like, I get why people have kids, like, purposefully. Because mm-hmm. it's easier that they take care of somebody else than it is to take care of yourself.
That is so true.
Is that accurate or what? I don't know.
I think it is. But then it's not.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense at all, it probably doesn't. I don't know.
It gives you a purpose.
Yeah.
In that way. And that means, like, you have to take, in order to take care of that person, you have to take care of yourself. Even if you don't do it, like, correctly, you know that you have to.
Yeah.
And so that's why I think that it is true. To have a kid.
Because someone, like, is literally depending on you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think, if anything, James really pushed me, and actually you just said that you grow with the child,
mm-hmm.
and so he really pushed me to grow and take care of myself in a different way. Like, mm-hmm. I think if I didn't have him at such a young age, I wouldn't be aware of, I guess, mental health issues and stuff like that. And just, like, I'm very self-aware, but I feel like I have to be self-aware. Like, I have to know that, hey, I think I'm falling into a little bit of depression, you know, I think that there's something wrong with me. I have to be aware because James needs me. And mm-hmm. I remember I was struggling with just a mild eating disorder. Mm-hmm. And my dad came to me, and it was just from stress and just not having control. Mm-hmm. And my dad came to me one day, and he was like, you don't get to do this. Like, because my mom is the soft one, like, oh, Jalees. And she had tried to talk to me over and over, and it wasn't working. My dad was like, no, you don't get to do this. You have a child who needs you. You need to raise him. You need to get up. He's like, take your moment, but you need to get yourself up and handle this. And that's what really helped me get out of it. Usually I do need that soft talk. But when I think about James, I'm like, you're right. I just need to handle this. I have a child. I can't just leave him. I can't just not take care of myself. Mm-hmm. So it's, you have to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you don't have that purpose, I guess it does give you a reason, like, to slide, like, further and further mm-hmm. away.
Yeah. Cause I don't have it. I don't have a
purpose. I don't have purpose.
This podcast is my baby. Like, this podcast is why I live. But yeah, because that's very unique to just single parents in general,
mm-hmm.
or just, I guess, just parents at a young age. Just a lot of people are struggling. Well, you guys literally have another person that it's hard. I don't know.
You know what?
It doesn't make sense for me.
What I'm realizing growing up is I watched my parents and my mom, we like very open and transparent about how they parented, and they look back and they're like, oh, we could have did this better, we could have did that better. But like I've watched them do stuff and then I'm doing it now, and my mom will explain to me like, just because I did that, you know, it wasn't the right way.
Yeah.
And so I'm very aware of that with James. Like, I want to show him, I guess, the best example. So I want him to know, like, hey, when you are feeling this way, it's okay to, like, okay, so for example, him, when he would cry, I would say, go to your room. Like, go to your room and cry and come out when you're done. And that's what my parents did to us. So I thought, you know, that's the way to handle it. Well, I started crying one day, and he came to me and he said, Mom, go to your room and cry and come out when you're done. And he was 3 at the time, and I was like, oh my gosh, what am I doing to my baby? He has no compassion. Like, he didn't comfort me. He just, like, got down on the floor, looked me in my eye and said, okay, go, just like I do to him. He said, go to your room. And so now I let him know when he cries, I'm like, go ahead, let it out, you know, cry, you know, but let me explain to you why this doesn't get you what you want, or this doesn't, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I just wanted to be, I want to be the best example of, like, one, like, just a healthy person, a healthy self for him.
And going with that, they really do keep you in check.
Yeah.
Because, so, like, if you have negative self-talk, right, if you won't hear me having negative self-talk anymore, because if you, once you hear that parroted back to you, like, you're gonna,
it's hard.
Yeah.
It's
hard. How does it parroted back? Like,
it's like if people, when you, you know, like, you make a comment like, oh, I'm so stupid, and then your kid says it, and your kid will be
stupid?
Like, yeah, your kid will, or be like, oh, I'm so stupid, I did this, I'm so stupid, and how it sounds coming from him, you don't realize how it sounds coming from yourself, you don't want to do it anymore.
Or even, like, for me, it's just, like, when I'm trying, you know, like, I mean, it's just jokingly, and I probably shouldn't joke this way, but I try something on, it doesn't fit. I'm like, oh, I'm so fat. You know, like, I should. Mm-hmm. And James, one day, he's like, Mama, you're so fat. And I was like, hey, you can't say that. But he's so young, he doesn't know the difference between, like, you jokingly saying that or not, you know. So I just kind of left it, just like, oh, wow, I look beautiful today. And now he tells me, Mom, you look beautiful today. So,
yeah, kids really are just sponges.
They are.
Of, like, information.
They are. Like, think about yourself and just realize how much of your parents you've taken in without even knowing it.
Yeah, the bad parts.
Yeah. Well, the good and the bad.
Well, okay, I want to get to that because I feel like I have this anxiety, well, of becoming a parent, of, like, becoming a quote-unquote bad parent. Cause,
oh, gosh.
Because, like, I don't know if I could handle that responsibility.
Yeah.
Like, do you guys ever worry about that? Like, of just, I don't know. How do you handle their bullshit?
I think about it all the time. That's actually the anxiety I have. Like, just being a bad parent, messing the child up.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
what I'm worried about.
Oh, gosh. That's my biggest fear. I'm like, he's going to get older and he's going to have all these issues. Yeah. It's going to be my fault, you know?
Yeah.
But you can't really. It's out of your control. That's what I wish I could. I want to say I come to terms with it, but I haven't, you know, but every day I have to tell myself, you know what, it's out of my control. I'm doing the best I can, you know, but it is stressful.
Yeah. Ash. Well, cause you,
being a parent will change you. Like, right now it seems like you would never be a parent. You could never do it. But I think when it happens, you kind of find ways to be better.
What do you mean by, like, just change? What do you guys feel like was the biggest change from pre parent to post parent? I mean, post kid. Pre kid. Wow. Wait, that doesn't sound correct. Pre kid, post kid. I don't know. Yeah, but, like, before and after. Like, what was the biggest changes? Like,
well, something comes to mind. When I first got pregnant, you know, my family was kind of like, how could you get pregnant? I was like, no, but I got this. And I remember, like, finding this pacifier, like, in my house. It was like some baby had left it, like, a couple years ago, and I was like, wow, this pacifier, this is gonna be my son's pacifier. and so like after, like, months, like, I was almost ready to give birth, right? And then I came across a pacifier again. I was like, what the hell? What was I thinking?
This random pacifier.
That's dirty.
Yeah, like, you just learn. You just, like, I don't know, it just comes to you. Like, you become, like, nurturing. Like, you just feel it.
I always say that James saved me because the situation that I was in with his dad, I was very much okay, I guess, with it. I was like, oh, you know, these little things are happening. But, you know, I can go through it and it's fine. It's not affecting me. But once I found out I was pregnant, that's when I officially, like, cut the relationship off and went to get help, because I'm like, I will not bring a child into this. So it's like selfishness, self
Lessness,
yeah.
Yeah.
So it was, I think that's the biggest change. And then also, like I said, self-awareness. Like, I'm very aware of what I'm doing and sometimes too aware, I guess, a little judgmental and hard on myself. But I am very self-aware of what I'm doing and where I'm spending my time and stuff like that. It, because I know it affects him too. It's not just affecting me.
Yeah.
So, those are two big differences I can think of.
I mean, technically, everything you do will affect anybody. Not even just your kid. But yeah. I guess it's the biggest impact is to your kid.
Yeah, because he's right there all the time.
All the time.
All the time. I was telling Ashley, I was in the restroom the other day. He pulled up a chair next to me. He brought a chair from his room and sat. I said, "What are you doing?" He's like, "I'm sitting down." I'm like, "I'm just trying to go to the restroom." Like, you're never alone. They're always watching.
You ever think about, like, was I like this when I was a kid?
I was. I was. Oh. I wouldn't let my mom do anything. That's what I get.
Were you like that, Ashley? Like, are you like Freddy? And what do you see in stuff in Freddy?
He has, like, he likes to, like, be combative, like, not like physically, but like, just, he likes to argue, like, so much, and he likes to be right, and he likes to.
That just, doesn't sound like you. I'm just
kidding. But I know I'm shy, but if you know me, like, I'm that kind of person. Like, I want to be right. Like I need to be right. Yeah. If I know someone's wrong, like, I'll just tell them, like. Like, yeah. This is why you're wrong.
I'm scared. Okay, well, the listeners don't know, but Ashley was my editor-in-chief for, like, 2 semesters? Was it 2?
Yeah.
2? And I was I'm super scared of getting Ashley mad. Because, like, if you don't know, like, Ashley's a very, you're a quiet girl. Would you say that that's an accurate description?
Yes, I
am. You're quiet, but one time, you weren't even screaming. Or you weren't, like, shouting or anything. Just raise your voice. Like,
the mom authority.
Yeah, it's the mom authority. I got so scared. I'm like, you know what? Okay, fine. I'll do it. I'll do it. I was like, I just don't want that upon me again. Please don't, because it's scary.
Yeah, I do that. I feel like I tell, like, it is. Like, oh, yeah. I'm gonna, like, I'll be nice about it, but I'll tell you the truth.
Yeah. I can only imagine being, like, be Freddy, and I'm like scared if you ever you just raise your voice. Yeah, like, do you raise your voice with Freddy?
I mean, I do, not as often as I used to. He was younger.
You don't have to when you're a mom. I'm telling you, I don't know what it is.
I can't wait to be a mom.
You can look at your child, and I swear they know. Like, I walked into James's classroom the other day, and he was on top of his napping bed, swinging his blanket in the air. Mm-hmm. Everybody else is asleep. Yeah. And I just happened to walk in. I just looked at him. He was like, "Sorry, mama." Like, I didn't say anything. I just looked at him. I was like, "What are you doing?" I'm sorry. No TV. He already knew. I didn't have to say anything. It's a mom thing. I don't have to yell. I'm just like, okay.
Do you guys gain mom superpowers? Because I know my mom has, like, some sort of superpower. Like, she can find anything. And I'm like, how do you find that?
You carried this person in your belly for 9 months. It's just like a connection thing.
Yeah.
It is. Like, I'm a heavy sleeper, but at night I know when he's awake. It's just weird. I'll wake up and I'm like, okay, he's coming down the hallway. It's a mom thing.
Yeah, and you know what they're doing. Like, they always ask, like, how'd you know I was doing that?
Yeah.
Oh, here's a funny anecdote related to moms. The other day, I was, like, just sad, so I was crying in my room. Like, this is, like, this week, I think. And then my mom walks in.
Aww.
My mom walks in, and she was like, which watch is better? She's going to go back to the Philippines. And I, like, turn around and, like, I'm not crying. I was like, I'm fine. Not that one. That one's good. And she was like, are you okay? And I was like, no, I thought she bought it, but then the next day she's like, oh, I thought you were crying. Like, mom, go away.
You need to know.
And I was like, she just left me alone. I think she knew that I wanted to be left alone. I was writing my journal, okay? I was like, have my journal time.
In your feelings?
Yeah, I was in my feels.
When I found out I was pregnant, I thought, I'm not going to tell my mom for, like, months, obviously. But the next morning she woke up and came into my room, and she's like, Julie's, I had a dream last night that I was holding a baby.
What the fuck?
And I haven't told it. I did not tell anybody at this point. So I'm like, oh, God. And my mom was like, her third eye. Like, she knows. And she was holding a baby. It had your sister's hair in your eyes. And she's like, it felt so real. And she tells me her dreams all the time. And I just sat on the bed. I was like, oh, that's funny. And then I left and came back. And she's like, I just can't get over this dream. I feel like there's something, you know. She's like, I swear. And I told her, Mom, I'm pregnant. And she started laughing. She just didn't believe me. She was literally on the floor, like, rolling, like, oh, you're so funny. And I started crying. I was like, Mom, I'm really pregnant.
Oh my God.
And she's like, what? Oh, my God, I'm so sorry. And she just gave me a hug. But she knew without even knowing. It's just a mom thing. It really is.
Yeah. It's funny because I knew of you.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Yeah, our paths kind of crossed.
Yeah.
But while I was having my own episodes of a totally different kind. Yeah. You were having your own. It's like weird.
At the same school. Just,
yeah, same
crazy.
School. It's like, oh.
And we graduated together. So you technically were there. James was there too. My dog.
Oh, I was already near James. I like to say that I'm Jaleesa's, I'm James's Asian dad.
Yeah.
I love that kid. I love all your kids.
Even when he throws, what did he throw at you the other day? He threw something at your head. Was it a lemon? Remember at your house, it was like a cutie and he hit you with the cutie. Oh, he was throwing it. And you're like, stop it. And you couldn't get him to stop.
Oh, you mean like when we had that dinner?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I can't wait to be a dad.
And see, I used my mom look and I was like, James, stop. And you're like, how did you do that?
Wait, I want to ask, how did all your relatives react? And how was that on your psyche? Because that must have been hard.
Yeah, it was hard for me because my, my mom was a teen mom too. So growing up there, my family was like, you better not do the same thing. And then what happened? So they were, it was kind of like they accepted it eventually, but they were kind of like, angry, I guess.
Mm-hmm. So my parents are, we grew up in the church. My mom, leadership in the church. My dad, leadership in the church. Mm-hmm. So I thought they were going to throw me out. But the thing is, I've always been very transparent with my parents, like I said. So when I turned 18, I was like, Mom, Dad, I'm having sex. I told them.
You don't have to wait until 18.
Well, I did because I was scared because he was older than me. Oh, okay. So I told them. I was like, yeah. And my mom was just like, well, you're 18. I can't tell you what to do, but just make sure you're taking your birth control, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But I was like, I know what I'm doing. I'm not going to get pregnant. And then they had a lot of issues with my older siblings. I'm the youngest of three. So for me, my parents were like, wow, you're going to go away to college. Like, I was like the good kid.
Yeah.
But I was just good, bad. I knew how to hide my bad.
You were bad?
Yeah. I was, you know.
I didn't know you were bad.
I could hide it very well. So when they found out I was pregnant, I think my mom, like I said, it's a mom thing. She kind of knew there was stuff going on with James's dad that wasn't okay because he kind of was very possessive and stuff. And she'd bring it up. But I was like, no, I'm in love. Leave me alone, And when I told her, she cried and she was like, are you going to break up with him? And she was happy because she said she felt like something was off with him. But when I told my dad, he said, you can't even feed a dog. How are you supposed to feed a baby? And he was mad. His whole, I know what he does when he's mad. His whole face just clenches up. And then just judgment from family, where our whole family's involved in the church and is very Christian. Mm-hmm. So, nobody said anything to my face, but you can just tell, you don't have to really say anything. You can just tell that it's kind of a disappointment. But they want to be happy for you, but then they don't,
I might bring up a touchy subject. You guys don't need to answer. You guys don't want to. I want to ask y'all about the relationship with the other, the father, basically. How's that? How does that work? What do you guys think about? Because it must be hard to have that connection with that other person, with your child. Right.
And Julius and I were talking about this earlier, and I was telling her, it's really difficult because you do have that connection. You're always going to have that connection, but I chose not to let Freddie see his dad. It's kind of like a mutual thing too, but I chose that because I think it just works better like that. It's less stressful, less anxiety, not wondering what's he doing, Is he okay there? Mm-hmm. So it's very stressful.
Well, for me, I think, like I said, I started going to counseling as soon as I found out that it was an abusive relationship. And I think a big part of my healing came from forgiveness. So I felt like I needed to see, I needed to at least open the door. Because he was reaching out to me while I was pregnant. He was like, I want to see him. I want to be a part of his life. So at first I told him no. You will have nothing to do with me or this child, just go away. But then I was healing, and then I was like, all right, just because he treated me one way doesn't mean he's going to treat his son that way. But he proved me right in a way. Mm-hmm. And so then I put my walls up. I was like, I'm going to protect him. And it is the anxiety, it's out of my control. But I was telling Ashley, I'm torn between, I want him to have a relationship with his dad, and I don't want him to blame me when he gets older. I never knew my dad, but you didn't let me. versus the like, you go over there and you get hurt and something happens to you. And then I'm like, what? I should have went with my first instinct, which was to not let him in. Mm-hmm. But the way the court system works, you know, I have to let him in. So, and everything's going well. And it seems like his dad is growing. We go to breakfast and we talk and communicate and everything seems to be going fine. But, you know, it's still anxiety. It's still like a control mm-hmm. thing. Like, I still don't know. Anything could happen at any moment. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, and I guess it works out better for us because my son's dad never asked to see him. So it kind of like works out better mm-hmm. like that.
Also, I want to ask, we're getting to the feel zone. I'm going to a little push, but how do you, because you guys mentioned there's both of an abusive relationship. How do you guys deal with like the trauma basically of the abuse? You guys don't need to go into specific of what it was or how it was, but just how do you guys deal with it? Because I think listeners would want to, if they're going through something right now mm-hmm. like that, or, you know, trying to heal from the wounds of that kind of trauma. What did you guys do that helped?
Definitely go to therapy, which I should have been doing years ago, but
yeah,
I barely started this year, so definitely.
What was it that stopped you? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think it's just talking about what happened because you really like kind of want to minimize that and you want to pretend it didn't happen almost, but to get through it, you do have to talk about it. Mm-hmm.
I think the same. Going to therapy, my counselor was a Christian counselor, so it just my relationship with God helped me a lot. But I feel like it's always going to be an everyday thing because I'm telling you, there's sometimes when we'll go do family, we have like a family day when we do family day, and I just get this ugly feeling in my stomach. But I can't help it. It's just because of our history, and I just very much like suck it up and put up healthy boundaries. But yeah, it's a constant thing. It's just like coping with, I guess, like you said, the trauma. I don't think it's 100% ever going to go away because like it's going to be a scar. But, you know, sometimes you look at the scar and you remember what happens. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what it is. When I see us all three together, it's fun, but I still remember what happened. So sometimes I just get a little, little things will rub me the wrong way. Like James was at T-ball once and he grabbed James's arm and was like, no, don't do it that way. And I like jumped into attack mode, like, no, don't you touch him like that. You know, but it was just a little tug. I overreacted, mm-hmm. but I was like, okay, like I said, I have these like coping, like, okay, take a deep breath. It was just a small little tug. You don't need to freak mm-hmm. out, but it's a constant struggle. It's not something that I think I'll ever be like, well, I don't care that you did that. Like, what's... be cool, you know, it's gonna be something that's ongoing forever. So just counseling God.
Yeah, that's like something that a lot of people don't do nowadays is spirituality, not even just God, because I have a weird relationship with God. But do you do any are you spiritual or like are you religious at all?
No, not actually, no, not religious.
Well, what do you do to oh yeah, I was just wondering but I want to do like a specific one for Jaleese because you're black.
Am I? No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Because I thought you were like mixed or something.
Yeah, I'm black and Mexican.
Mexican, yeah. Mm-hmm. But your child is going to be a black man one day.
No, yeah.
And I thought of this
because, yeah. You know,
I'm kind of his Asian dad. One time when I was meditating, I meditated on that and made me cry. Yeah.
I remember you came to me the next day and you were like, Jaleese, I was thinking about it. And yeah, remember?
It made me sad because mm-hmm. like you see it on, like, how do you deal with that knowledge?
I'm gonna start crying right now. No, it's really hard because like James is 4, he's the size of a 7-year-old. The doctor's all excited because he's going to be what, like 6'8 and 200 and something pounds predicted to be. And he is like the softest, sweetest child I ever met, you know? And even his mm-hmm. teacher says that. He's so sensitive. He talks to when his friends hurt his feelings. He explains to them what happened and blah, 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 blah. And I feel like media and this world, they make black men out to be like these aggressive, like mm-hmm. they don't get to be kids. They're men right away, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm scared. I am. I'm really, especially Clovis. We live in Clovis, and it's like
this is in middle of California, folks. This is like the white. You would say it was like the white section.
Yeah, the white section.
The white section of
the grocery store. But yeah, no, it's just like it's scary. I don't even. That's the other thing. That's why it's nothing but God that keeps me sane, and I have to really remember this is all out of my control. But
yeah,
like. I just think one day he's going to be driving a car by himself, you know, and he even asked me, he's like, Mama, are police nice? And I don't even know how to answer that question because
ACAB.
Yeah, like I freeze and I get scared and he hears the conversations that I have with other people. But I mean, yeah. I guess that's why I write about or I make videos about this kind of stuff and just because it's the world. It's out of my control. There's no coping with it, really.
I'll link that in the show description.
Oh.
To raise a black boy. That was a good video.
Yeah, because it's just it's reality of what the world we live in.
Well, like a little bit about parenting, like how do you guys control, like, because I just saw Mr. Rogers, the documentary. Good. Super good, by the way. Y'all need to watch this.
Is it on Netflix?
No, it's in the theaters.
Oh.
It's so good. I cried like 10 times.
Really?
Yeah. Like, it's just like acceptance and stuff like that. But like, what do you guys like? Because I was thinking about it more. Like, what do you guys let your kids watch and stuff? Because I know you.
No, here you go.
Let me expose Jalece a little bit because I knew YouTube had bad stuff for children. And I told Jalece.
It was one time.
No. There was a lot of them. And I was like, do you know what your kids are watching? Because we've discussed that they're kind of like sponges of information. But if what they're watching is like not
good.
Ma'am,
you don't understand. Sometimes you just have to give them the phone and say, hey, James, like, I need you to be quiet for 2 seconds. Like, you're in the bank or you had an appointment. I was like, here, take the phone. But then you're right. YouTube, he'll just click. And one time I stumbled across him watching a video of Frozen girl giving birth to Spider-Man. I was like, what is this?
Yeah.
But I let him watch. I let him watch Netflix, but like the kids section.
Oh, okay.
But I'm recently trying to limit him because he'll...
Or I guess just like the influences. You know, influences of just the media, I guess. Because we work in media, but like not everything we see is pretty good.
I mean, very kid stuff.
So my son's getting older now.
Yeah.
He's 11. So
he's 11,
He's getting kind of like, age. I don't want to like keep him from seeing things because I feel like if I keep him from doing it, he'll like hide it from me or he'll go to somebody's house and do it.
Yeah.
Now I want him to be open with me, so... Like, he recently started playing PUBG, which is...
Ooh,
like,
did he win yet?
I don't know. He's, like, really into it.
Well, I gotta ask him after for pod.
I don't like it. Like,
what?
You know, I'm not into it. But I just let him do it because I feel like he's just... I mean, he's gonna be open with me. He was honest with me. He told me he was playing it. Even though he knows I don't like it, but he told me he was playing it.
Let me... So for the listeners...
I was like, I don't know what that is.
PUBG is a... It's a video game. Does he play on the phone?
Yeah.
It's 100 people get parachuted into an island and then only one person wins. So basically kill the 99 or just survive until then. It's pretty fun, guys. It's a good way to get your anger out. Just like curse out randos and murder them. Wait.
See? Those randos could be kids.
Yeah,
on the
and
other
I told
side.
Him to turn off, like if he's going to play, he needs to turn off. The mic.
Yeah, so they can't talk. Yeah, I thought about because I was growing up with video games and I was like, I'll turn out fine. But thinking about it now, I am fine, but like, it was more about the social aspect, especially with like Twitter and social media these days. Everyone's an asshole, and now kids are getting exposed to it younger and younger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't know how that works.
Yeah, I'm very much I don't let James watch video games or play video or watch. And remember, I went to your house like, what are you doing? Don't do it.
He's playing Mario Kart. He doesn't even know how to play.
But his dad plays with him. And I'm like, well, I can't control it. Like, can't control it. But I really would hope that he would play because I don't want people to attack him online. But you're right. I can't shelter him.
I think the theme, well, last episode too, there's a theme of like control.
It is.
The amount of control we have with our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And like, how do you guys deal with the idea that maybe we don't have control? I don't know. Like, there's so many things we can't control.
It goes back to, like God for me.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only way I can really find peace in not having control over what's going on. Like, just knowing that there's somebody out there with a bigger plan and I'm just going to have to, like, submit myself fully, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to grasp that you don't have control over everything, especially, like, I think that's part of like what causes a lot of my anxiety. I don't have control over everything. Yeah. And I'm that kind of person that I feel like I want control of everything. Yeah. So it is hard. And I think I'm still trying to find my way to let go of what doesn't matter, I guess.
Yeah. That quote always comes back to my mind about what was that quote? People always correct me with the actual quote. It's something about God, please give me the wisdom to know what I could change and not change. and know the difference between those or something? Control. No, let me have the knowledge to know which things I can control and not control. Like,
prayer they do in like,
yeah,
AA.
What are the, yeah. Yeah, that, okay, AA is actually, you know, that has like no scientific backing. Like Alcoholics Anonymous, they use God as like, well, it's not scientific at all, but it works. Because it's like they have you, because I read like a book, Read the Power of Habit, that's a very good book. But it's like they have you believe that you have a higher power. It doesn't have to be God, it has to be something mm-hmm. that has a bigger plan or something, like the universe, mm-hmm. that kind of makes them less likely to do their thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's interesting because I think a problem now, because millennials are not as religious as before, and we're kind of lacking, not that there's a lot of problems with religion, but there's that spiritual, something bigger than you.
Yeah. And I think that's why when people ask me a lot of times, like, are you religious? I say no, because mm-hmm. I feel like religion is rooted in control and like judgment. And that's yeah. what I experienced. I mean, yeah. my sister came out the closet when we were young. It was that. And then I got pregnant young and that was that. And then, like I said, my parents working in church, I saw the background of how like a lot of churches work. And I was like, what is this? Like yeah. these people are, kinda you know, weird. Doing, judging these people, but you're doing this and blah, blah, blah. So really, I just think like, have a relationship with God, and that's what I strive for. And yeah. just like, it's not about going to church every Sunday. It's not about following every single rule. It's really about like, God is love and loving your neighbor and loving yourself, you yeah. know, and that's what it comes down to. So like, yeah, so that's what I do. But like, you're right. Millennials aren't very religious. I don't consider myself religious. I think like, I was at a church the other day and they were like cussing. Oh, I used to cuss so bad. I was like, well, cussing isn't a salvation issue yeah. to me. Like, I sit yeah. here and cuss all the time.
I think you're spiritual.
Yes.
That's what you,
yeah.
That's
yeah.
what you
mean. But I hate saying spiritual because everybody's spiritual, you know?
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So I'm just like,
spirituality is important. Spiritual. Yeah. And it's, you're right. It's different than mm-hmm. being religious. And yeah. I think it's important. Spirituality.
I'm Catholic. So I'm a proud Catholic. I love my Pope. Well, I don't agree anything because
no.
Oh my, it's kind of like a cultural thing. If you talk about it, it's like yeah. a cultural, because in the Philippines I was raised Catholic.
And okay.
When I go to church, I kind of feel like, oh, this, I've been doing this since I was like
mm-hmm.
one. I got baptized mm-hmm. as a kid, so I don't know. It just connects me back, but it's good. You guys want to add anything else? A message to the listeners about anything.
I think if I had to say one thing to anybody that's like in a similar situation mm-hmm. than me or is pregnant, and I would just say, talk to somebody, even if you don't go to counseling or anything, just mm-hmm. talk to somebody, even if it's yourself. Because I used to get my computer and just like talk to myself on the video, and I ended up deleting them all later. Mm-hmm. But when I was pregnant, I would just sit there and cry on video and just be like, I don't know how I'm going to raise a baby. But it was just like getting it out.
Because, you should put that on your vlog.
No. Yeah. I know. I have the ones when I used to do with James, but the other ones were just like, cute. It was like sad and kind of like, yeah. I don't want to say pitiful, but it helped me get to where I am today. Mm-hmm. So just talk to somebody, even if it's your dog, like just get it out. Cause the more you stuff, it's weighing on you, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. The same as what Julie said, you need to find somebody who you trust and just like find a person that you can talk to and you can confide in.
Okay, cool.
It's cool. I didn't even know we had similar situations till right now. So,
yeah, I didn't. See? Yeah. That's interesting.
Making
yeah.
connections in this pod. Yeah, well, thank you guys for sharing and being open. I really appreciate it. And
thank
yeah,
you.
Like, I appreciate you guys being here. Yeah. And, well, that's going to be it for this episode. Thank you to Ella from Build You Up podcast for sending the message, and also Noor. Amir 17. Thank you for the kind messages. Like, I really appreciate it. And yeah, let's continue the conversation about mental health. And thank you so much for listening. Like, literally the two messages that I've gotten and like the people that I've talked to, it's crazy. We only were like two episodes in and people are like wanting to talk to me about like just mental health stuff. Like,
yeah.
not even talk to me. Just, I'm just here to listen. Like you guys said, it's just having somebody listen to you mm-hmm. about your problems is such a big like weight off your chest.
Mm-hmm.
And if you guys ever need like to drop me a voice message on Anchor and I'll listen. We're here to listen. We're here to comfort each other. Yeah, it's gonna be okay. All right. Well, next week, I don't know who our guest is. Maybe it's just me and Paulina again. But thank you for listening. This has been Boys Do Cry. Yeah. Bye.
Bye.